All right. Take your Bible, go to, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to try to remember this story. This guy's going down the road and he rear-ended this really, really expensive sports car accidentally. But he got a little too close and whatever, but he hit him and the guy, they both cars stopped and the guy jumped out and he is freaking out. He's a major jerk and he's threatening this guy, this elderly gentleman. He says, "You're going to pay me $10,000 right here on the spot for this damage and or I'm going to do bodily harm to you." And the guy says, "I don't have that kind of money, but my son trains dolphins and let me get him on the phone." And so the guy rolls his eyes, trains dolphins, and the gentleman calls his son and tells him the scenario. The guy grabs the phone from the dad and says, "Your dad, blah, 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 did this, and if you don't get here with $10,000 in the next 15 minutes, then I'll beat both of you to a pulp." And the guy says, "I'll be right there." So, you know, like 8 minutes later, a Jeep pulls up. I did not put that in myself. It was in the original story. And Jeep pulls up, and this guy gets out. And before the guy could open his mouth, the son beat him, I mean, into cerebral palsy. And the dad said, "Gee, thank you, son." And the son said, "Hey, Dad, I train SEALs, not dolphins. Navy SEALs." You know, and he drove away. I thought that was funny. It would have probably been better if I'd have read it. But anyway, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. Let's go to verse 8. Dolphin trainer, huh? Like something my wife would say. Amen. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing." Has this always been in the Bible? Because I mean, I shudder to think how many times I've violated several of them. Am I alone? Amen? All right, it says, "But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing." And it says in verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lip that they speak no guile." Amen. For he that will love life. I like those songs about heaven. I like thinking about the Lord coming back. Yeah. I mean, I'm ready. I like M.R.D. Hahn had a little plaque on his desk instead of his name with doctor and all his little degrees. It just said these words, "Perhaps today." Yeah. Every time he walked into his office and looked at his desk, he didn't see his name, he saw that reminder that this could be the day and tried to live his life that way. Anytime anybody had to come into his office, whether it was counseling of a couple or a staff member, whatever it was, they sat across from his desk and they're staring at that thing, "Perhaps today." And we need all the provocation that we can get to remember that this could be the day, this could still be the day the Lord comes back. And you know what that would do? It would help us to keep him first. Because your flesh wants to be first. I need more amens than that or I will start over. Even with the joke. No, I'm kidding. Amen. He that will love life. I'm ready to go. But I just got to be honest with you. I love life. I'm having a great time. I mean, I got aches and pains and places. I didn't even know I had places. That's not original. Some of you get up there in your 60s and 70s. You know what I'm talking about. But all in all, I got the best job in the world. I got the best wife in the world. You shouldn't agree with that, but you should know what I'm thinking, what I'm talking about. You should feel that way about yours. Amen. I got the best friends in the world. Amen. And it just goes on from there. And I love life. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to stay. I'm happy to serve. Amen. And then the verse goes on and say, "And see good days." And see, could I just admit to you, and I'm a Bible preacher, and I understand the trying of your faith, work of patience, I understand all that. I understand rain falls on the just and the I get that. But I'm just going to be honest with you. Good days are my favorite. Yeah. Paul said, rather will I glory in my infirmities. I'm thinking, that's high ground, buddy. And, you know, we can handle whatever we have to handle through Jesus Christ. I get that. But if that's up to me, if I had my druthers, I like it when things are going good. I like smooth sailing, don't you? Amen. Good days are my favorite kind. Paul Harvey, some of you remember, because I can tell how old you are. Remember, Paul Harvey used to do a radio broadcast, and he would say, good day. Good day. I want to preach on a good day. I want to give you a Bible formula for how to have a good day. Would that be all right? Oh, don't worry. I'll skin you again tomorrow. But tonight, a good day. Have a good day. Father, again, thank you. This is a great day, Lord. Great day to be alive. Great day to be able to open your Bible. Great day to be able to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Great day to lift names up to the throne of grace. Some for salvation. Some for healing. Some for wisdom, guidance, and direction. God, thank you that you are a prayer-hearing God. Thank you, God, for the throne of grace that we can go to when we need to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God, I pray that you'd help me to preach this message tonight, and may it be a help and a blessing to your people tonight. And God, if there's somebody in here that is not saved, does not know what I mean when I say that, God, I pray that they'd inquire. They'd be curious enough about eternity to say, I don't know if I quite get that. It's so easy to explain with the Bible. Father, I love you tonight, and I just pray you be pleased with us. And that would be a blessing in and of itself, because you sure enough deserve it. I love you, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to give you some things here as we work through the passage. Right here, we're going to be right here. And that don't mean I'm not going to jump around, but our text will come out of here. And number one, now we're talking about the Bible formula for having a good day. And number one, point number one is going to have to do with conversation. Conversation. As a matter of fact, in verse 10, the verse goes on to say, what is it going to say? It goes on to say, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. That right there will get you started on a good day, to be able to learn to control your conversation. Amen. Refrain. It says refrain his tongue from evil. Refrain means to hold back, to restrain, to keep from action. And that's a bigger deal than it seems. Amen. The Bible says this in James chapter 1, I'm sorry, 3 and verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. There's one thing people have in common, whether they're big, strong, young, old, weak, amen, male, female, etc. Whatever, people that have a tongue, that have the ability to speak, can make a mess with their mouth. I'm talking about in a hot pair of, are you ready? New York seconds. And a lot of days have been ruined by putting a mouth. Let me see, how do you say that? Putting a mouth in gear before you put the brain. You know what I'm trying to say? We don't think before we speak. I remember as a young Christian, my preacher got up in the pulpit on Sunday morning after the Sunday morning message, and he just thought that he didn't have to tell you to be back at 6 because it's your church. Why wouldn't you be? So he would say things like this, says, tonight's message, tonight, I'm going to preach on the wickedest member of Charity Baptist Church. That was the name of our church back then. And I thought, wow, that sounds interesting. And the reason I thought that is because I was pretty sure that time, at least, it wasn't going to be about me. I've had some times like some of you, I've gone into church going, I hope I'm not in trouble. Amen. And I found the remedy for that is getting alone with God before, amen, or getting alone with God after the Holy Spirit knocks on my All right, that's how I learned to do it. Now, that's not as popular as it once was. I don't know why. Amen. But he said, I'm going to preach on the wickedest member of Charity Baptist Church. And I laughed. I chuckled. I mean, I thought that was interesting. I looked around, you know, and other people said, oh, that'll probably be good. Some people looked incredibly nervous. What's that tell you? And some actually didn't even come back that night. I wonder if they were really, really worried about it. It might be about them. He got on the platform, you know what I'm talking about. And he pulled out a little shoebox, like a woman's shoebox. You know how they're smaller, narrower, and narrow. And he set it on the pulpit. Now, back then, in the old days, our kids all sat on the first row. And there's a whole line of boys and a whole line of girls. And he flipped the lid. He read the text in James and flipped the lid off that box and grabbed a big old long cow tongue. And who knew they were that long? Some of you probably did, you know. But he picked that thing up. It's about that long, and it was defrosted, I guess, because it was limp. And he got down, and he went up and down in front of all them kids, wagging that big old tongue. And the girls all, they thought it was funny, and the boys were going, ew, ew. I noticed that. I'm going, the boys are more scared of that than the girls. That wouldn't be like that here, would it? Amen. And he proceeded to preach on the wickedest member of Charity Baptist Church, and any church for that matter. And it's the tongue. It says in verse 8 there in James chapter 3, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. If you try to tell me your tongue, you got your tongue under control, you don't have to keep your guard up about that thing, what you talk about, you're a liar. And say, well, who are you? Well, I'm just a Bible believer. And the Bible says the tongue no man can tame. Now, some of us have learned a lot to praise the Lord. Amen. But tell you what, you let your guard down and you'll be talking about some. I'm not just talking about dirty language. I'm talking about you'll be talking about things you shouldn't. Amen. So this is not deep. And I know what you're thinking. Like, I ain't said nothing deep yet. I mean, in 30 years. It's just Bible. If you want to have a good day, you better refrain your tongue from evil. And that's not subjective about, well, I don't see anything. No, that's according to what the Bible says. The Bible says, what does it say? Let me read the verse. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to find it. Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says, verse 13, for everyone who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, who by even those who by reason of use. The context is what? The word of righteousness. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'll tell you what, how much time you spend in that book is going to determine how much discernment you have when it comes to good and evil. Amen. Because we're all famous for, well, I don't think, or I do think, or I don't see. And that's the problem. What does the Bible say? Amen. So if you want to have a good day, you need to learn to refrain your tongue from evil. And the verse doesn't stop there. Neither does the point on conversation, because the verse goes on with these words, and his lips that they speak no guile. Guile, that's not a word I was familiar with when I was lost. It means cunning. Oh, I was familiar with that. Artifice, as in artificial, as in phony. There's a lot of phony going on these days. I'm glad God put me with this crowd. I wouldn't have lasted with most of the religious crowds these days for 6 months. Just not being honest. I didn't come to play games, and I don't play games now. I'm glad God finally took me a long time. Took me a long time to get to where some of you were born into, and that's something that was real. But I'll tell you what, I made up my mind when I realized that Bible Christianity is what I've been searching for all my life. I made up my mind, then ain't nobody going to run me off. And that don't mean I haven't had my feelings hurt. And that doesn't mean I had I agreed with everything. And that doesn't mean I like everything, everything that people did. It just means when I didn't agree, I went and found a place, get with God, and asked God what to do. And God never once told me to hit the bricks. God never told me, well, you don't need to go to church anymore. You don't need to read your Bible anymore. You don't need to be around God. Never once did God tell me that. If I thought he would, then I'd just throw in the towel. But I know professing Christians that have thrown in the towel, and I know it wasn't God told them to do it. There is another guy, you know. Duplicity, deceit. Deceit. Amen. That's what guile means. And his lips that they speak, no, zero, no guile. Psalm 39 and verse 1 says, David wrote this, he said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. You know, when I read that, there are people that I know that their face came to mind with a bridle in their face. That just looked like that would probably help them. That's what David is saying. Let me tell you something. You know, when you and I get in trouble with our mouth, it's when we don't take heed. And I'm just going to say it like the Bible says it. If you want to have a good day, you might need to learn when to bridle your mouth more than you do. Amen. And this day and age, when that was written, communication was almost 99% verbal. I mean, they wrote stuff, but this day and age, communication, people don't even talk on phones anymore. I had to get a smartphone so that I communicate with my kids. If I called them, they didn't answer. If I texted them, they would text right back. I said, is that a setting or are you just ignoring me? What is up with that? I had to get a smartphone just so I could talk, keep in contact with my kids. Now, I have a wife and a phone that are smarter than I am. Amen. But this day and age of social disease media, that's what I call it. Amen. This day and age and texting and stuff like that, I'll tell you what, people thought comes to somebody's mind and they've got it typed into their little favorite whatever and got to launch that thing out into the world wide web in front of lost people and all. And I've seen people do damage by not what they said, but what they thought and then communicated by way of their fingers. Now, out on the table, I put some tracks, I put some CDs, I put some copies of my book. There is a box, there is a price list. Amen. But I thought for a while that perhaps it would be a good thing to add to my entrepreneurial lack of skills. I should go to Odd Lots. My wife's always telling me about Odd Lots. She hasn't been to an Odd Lot since I've met her, I don't think. But she must have spent a lot of time there as a kid. I don't know. But go to Odd Lots and find a batch of mittens. Bulk, you know, where you can get them a real good price. Now, there's places that I go in this country, South Florida, Arizona, South Texas. If I said the word mitten, they wouldn't have a clue what I was talking about. But you do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're up here where it gets cold. Amen. And I thought to myself, I could sell mittens on my table at a good price. And I just have a little thing that says, for you that have a hard time not posting every stupid thought that comes into your mind, I'll sell you a pair of mittens and you can, when you put them on it and kind of reduce the urge to start typing. I told somebody I was in the pastor's office more than a few times saying, I didn't mean it the way they took it. Well, according to Luke chapter 6, you probably did. You just didn't think you'd get called on the carpet by it. I know that, man, social media stuff's got, it's the same as gossiping. It is exactly the same. I told this person, I said, you know, I know you got this great need to put everything you think out there But could I just suggest something? You know, you can type it, but just sit on it for 24 hours. It might look different the next day. Amen. I don't know if that person ever heeded that advice or not, but I know what the Bible says about having a good day, and it says this thing starts out talking about conversation, and I'll tell you what, your mouth will get you to a place where you won't have a good day. It says in Psalm 50, verse 23, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Beloved, you're responsible for what comes out of your mouth. And if you can't control it, learn to shut it. Amen. Maybe this will help. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 says this, but as he which hath called you is holy, are you saved? As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's the context. The verse said, for he that will love life and see good days. And I just, man, that's my favorite kind. Anybody else? Like good days, like smooth sailing. I know we've been through stuff. God gets us. But I'm just saying, I don't know. The Bible said to let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. All right, number one, conversation. Number two, conduct. We're talking about a form, Bible formula to have a good day. Look at verse 12 or verse 11. Not Hebrews, though. First Peter 3. In verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Amen. A couple words I never heard before I started reading the Bible there. Let him eschew evil. A friend of mine ever heard that word ever from a pulpit before I ever read it myself in Job chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, even though I never heard the word, it's pretty obvious from the context what it means, right? Amen. I mean, if he was perfect and upright and feared God and eschewed evil, it was kind of obvious. The definition of eschewed is to abstain or keep away from, to shun, to avoid. And our text said, let him eschew evil. You ought to have a good day? Again, the word of righteousness will give you the ability to discern good and evil. Let him eschew evil. Amen. Now, New Testament, that's Old Testament. I get it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, Paul wrote, abstain from all appearance of evil. Same thing. Amen. How many heard of Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law goes something like this. Anything that can go wrong will. I don't know who Murphy is, but boy, he got tagged with that one. That's not Murphy's Law. You know what that is? That is the law of the flesh. We are not evolving. We are devolving. Amen. That's just how it works. Now, some of you have heard Murphy's Law continue and finish like this, and at the worst possible time. Anybody heard that? That's Mrs. Murphy's addition. Doesn't that sound like a wife? Anything that can go wrong will, and the woman saying, yeah, and at the worst spot, like the dryer, washer going out just before church. Now, amen. And you know what Murphy's Law for the Christian is? Murphy's Law for the Christian is anything you say, anything you do, any place you go, if it can be taken wrong, it will be. If it can be used against your testimony or the testimony of your church or the cause of Jesus Christ, buddy, the devil has got people just waiting for us to make a mistake. And you know, the problem with that is we make mistakes. That's why Paul admonishes us to abstain from all appearance. Say, well, doctrinally, You got to understand. You got a higher calling than rightly dividing. You've got a calling to be a good example to a lost and dying world. And you know, everybody doesn't know all the things you know. And they ain't going to hang around and let you explain it to them. Well, dispensationally, that doesn't mean. We've got to have our guard up and we've got to be on our best behavior. And Paul said it like this: abstain from all appearance of evil. You want to have a good day? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Johnny Cash may have walked the line. I remember that from when I was 10 years old. But you and I better quit. Better get as far away from the line as we can. All right, then the verse goes on and says, and do good. Kind of a no-brainer for a child of God. I joke around. I say, it's a sin to lie in church. You know, it's a joke because it's a sin to lie anywhere. We're supposed to do good. Always. Amen. I'll give you some proof. Galatians chapter 6 to verse 10, it says, as we there have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And we have opportunities. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially. Not exclusively. We're supposed to treat each other right, above and beyond. Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. The greatest witness in the world is Christians treating each other right. But the calling in Galatians 6 isn't just to treat Christians right, fellow believers, fellow church members, fellow like-minded. No, it says unto all men. Matter of fact, he said it like this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But some deserve it. I know. That's why we need the Lord. Amen. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. The common theme, two common themes in both those verses. Do good. You want to have a good day? Do good. But the other common theme is all the time, to everybody. You don't get to pick and choose. I mean, you can do it any way you want. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says about how to have a really good day. One that God can bless. One that God, and even that's a selfish motive, isn't it? Well, if I do this, God will bless me. Doesn't he deserve us to do what we're supposed to do just because of who he is and what he's already done for us? Come on. I think so. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Ensues like pursue. Means the same thing. Tell you what, in this life, if you don't seek peace, you will never find it. The truth is, it's only found in one place, and that's with the Prince of Peace. You want to have a good day? Eschew evil and ensue peace. Amen? Number 3. Verse number 12. Bible formula right there in the first epistle Peter wrote there, chapter 3. Verse 12 says this, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If I ever wanted to preach a message on how to have a bad day, right there, do evil. Amen. But that's not the message tonight. I'm saying you need to stay in contact. You want to have a good day? Stay in contact with the Lord. It says his eyes are over the righteous, his ears are open to them. He keep as close a contact with the Lord as you can. Amen. He wants to hear from you. Amen. He wants to have fellowship with you. That's what the human race was created for. Amen. So when sin gets in there and severs that relationship, you ought to want to get that thing confessed soon as possible, which is opens the lines of communication. Now, you don't have to. That's why I preach every week to people that look like they ate a lemon or something. They're miserable. The most miserable people I've ever met, and I've been around some lost, very lost people, who think they're having fun. The most miserable people I've ever met are turned out to be backslidden Christians. And some of them ain't out there yet. They're still in the church. And they're what? I couldn't handle coming to church like some people do, worried to death the preacher was going to hit on exactly what I'm doing, hoping that you get through a service without him nailing you. What a way. I want him to nail me. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm super spiritual. There's some things I'm not worried about getting nailed with. And then if God shows me something else, some attitude or some thinking that's not right, I want to know. Because I need him. I need him. Only thing I'm real good at, and after, 37 years, what I mastered is making a mess. I don't want to go back to my own way of thinking. The Bible says a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I don't want the flesh to be in control ever again. Amen? So you want to stay in contact. David longed for fellowship with the Lord. It said in Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Amen. Let me ask you tonight, is he your God?
Yeah.
He's God. The O God part, that crossed the board. He's God. Right. Whether people like it or not, whether people believe on him or not. I had a guy say, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. I said, well, that's all right. Here, read this. He believes in you. Because he's God. When that thing said in Amos chapter 3, prepare to meet thy God, that's for everybody. Everybody's going to meet God. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad he's not going to be my judge. I'm glad I'm going to meet him as Savior. I'm glad we're going to work out my ignorance at the judgment seat of Christ. But when it comes to eternity, he's my Savior. Amen. Won't work out so good for the other crowd, for the person that steps into eternity trusting their own righteousness or their own opinions or their friends or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God wants to hear from you. He said this, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. That's a guy who wants to hear from God. Then it goes on and says, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My flesh. Boy, I'm not there. I got to fight this stinking flesh tooth and nail every single day. Boy, I'd like to get to a place where I could say that would be true about me. Wouldn't you? But I know this. You want to have a good day? You want to keep in close contact with the Lord. Here's what I've noticed. That if you do, if you'll keep in constant contact, communication with the Lord, you can have a pretty good day. No matter what else is going on. Amen. How to have a good day. Communication. Conversation, I think I called it. Conversation. Conduct. And contact. And there's more. Verse 13. Right there in the chapter. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? Amen. You know what that is? That speaks of confidence. You can have confidence. Who is he that will harm you? Amen. Psalm 118 and verse 8 said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Most things, most people, amen, at one point or another will let you down. That's just how it is. Isn't it good to be able to put your confidence in someone that never, ever, ever will? If your confidence is in the Lord, it seems like that'd be a great help toward having a good day. It's comforting to know the Lord won't change his mind. I've made some decisions. I've helped some people out. I wished I wouldn't have. The way they treated me or the way they took it for granted. I hope you can follow what I'm trying to say. And I've regretted going out on a limb for some people at different times. You know what? The Lord's not like that. The Lord knew every detail of our life. He knows our frame. You know where we get in trouble? We forget. He said he knows our frame. He remembered that we are dust. We get a little victory in our life. We clean up a little bit. We clean up our mouth and we, start doing right. And we start wanting to take credit. That's that deceitful flesh. He remembers where Jimmy Hood used to say, we're just a bunch of glorified dirt balls. Amen. And I like that. Amen. And God will never wake up and say, they did what? Man, I wish I'd have never saved that one. Now I'm stuck with them. No, he knew what he was getting. He knew what he was getting. Amen. I remember early on, the first couple of years I was saved, and my preacher, he was a good preacher, he was a good teacher, and I am soaking it in. I'm so far behind the curve. I'm at like 40 years old by now. I'm a baby Christian, and I'm listening. And one time after he got done with teaching something, and I said, preacher, can I talk to you? He said, sure. I went down to his office, and he said, what's wrong, David? What's going on? And I says, preacher, the more I learn, and I was there every service. I didn't skip, ever. I thought, that's my church. That's just a given. I've noticed that's not a given anymore. Amen. But I'm soaking it up, and I just got to the point where I said, preacher, the more I listen, the more I learn, the more afraid I am that I'm going to let him down. The more I learn how wonderful he is and the sacrifice that he made for the likes of me. See, I'm not like some of you. I don't like me. I don't trust me. My biggest enemy is me. I have not made friends with my flesh. I hate it. Amen? And I don't trust it. And that was 30 years ago. I still don't. And I said, the more I learn about what Jesus Christ did for me, the more I am afraid I am going to fail. You know what my preacher said? He had some wisdom. You know what he said? He said, David, hold that thought, and you probably won't. You know who's leaving empty pews behind are people that thought, I've got this, I've been doing this, I got this down pat, and they'll never, never, never believe that it could be them on their way out the door. I know it could be me. Amen? He said, the people that are long gone, AWOL, deserters, are people that never dreamed it could happen to them. Just hold that thought. I thought that was pretty good. Pretty good. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, and it isn't the only time Paul admonished on these lines. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And it's often the ones that think they got a handle on it, got it all figured out, that fall. And empty pews all over America. And I'm talking about our crowd. I don't know what's going on in other places. But I know in our crowd, I know some good, solid people that the FBI couldn't find with a warrant tonight because something came across their way that they didn't expect. I'm talking about little stuff. I'm not talking about tragedy stuff. That's where God draws closer in the rough stuff. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You hear me? All right, so confidence. You want to have a good day? You maintain your confidence in the Lord. Amen. Things go on I don't like dealing with, but I know we'll be okay. We'll make it. We're gonna. All right, verse 15. We're skipping verse 14. I don't know why, but we are. God didn't give me anything there. Verse 15 is consecration. Consecration. Here's what it says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Consecrate means to set apart, dedicated to the service and worship of God. Say, Brother Spurgeon, consecrate's not in that verse. No, but sanctify is. And sanctification is the New Testament word for consecration. It means exactly the same thing. If you want to have a good day, it says sanctify. What does it say? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. It means set God apart. It means make sure he's on the throne. Your flesh wants the throne. I had to tell somebody, it says in Revelation chapter 4, it said there's one that's set on the throne. Revelation 4 and verse 1. And I said, hey, pal, there's one on the throne, and it ain't you. It's him. That's where we get in trouble. Amen. We want to climb up there on the throne. And the thing is, he's a gentleman. He'll let you. Amen. But you're on your way to a disaster when that happens. Amen. So make sure God's on the throne of your heart. And then, you know, he can be your Savior and not your Lord. They're two different things. I mean, you don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer to not want to go to hell. But the smartest thing you could ever do after getting your sins forgiven is yield yourself to the Spirit of God that moved in. Start reading the book that the Holy Spirit wrote. Get in a church where people preach the book the Holy Spirit wrote. And he'll do more than save your soul. He'll save your life. Amen. Consecrate. And it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set yourself apart to the service and worship of God. Let me help you with that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Go ahead and turn there. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. And the Bible says this. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good works. The these in the context is in verse 16 is profane and vain babblings. Oh, it goes right back to that tongue. And verse 23 is foolish and unlearned questions. Oh, it goes right back to that tongue. Amen. You purge yourself of that kind of foolishness, and it says you'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. That means of some value to God that he can use you for his purpose, prepared on every good work. Well, listen, when Paul wrote Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, in verse 13 he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before. Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you. I looked at that, and I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And, you know, he gets that crown of righteousness over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you can too, by the way. But, man, I'm talking about what a man of God Paul was. And if anybody deserves the prize of the high, he did. But I got thinking about that. You might think, well, the prize of the high calling is serving in a pastorate of a big church or a successful ministry somewhere. And that can't possibly be what it means based on the context of the verse. He wrote that to Christians in a church just like you and me. Amen. So here's what I'm talking about. He's not talking about the high calling of God is not a degree. It's not a title. It's not a ministry. It's not a position. Because everybody ain't going to get that stuff. Everybody ain't supposed to. But what he's talking about is available to every born-again believer. And I'm going to tell you what the high calling of God is in Christ Jesus. It's the ability to be a vessel meet for the master's use wherever you are, at work, at school, on the street. You can be used of God wherever you are, and he wants to use you. We've been called according to his purpose. Amen? If you will sanctify the Lord God in your heart, set yourself apart for his service. You will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Last of all, verse 16. 16, it says, having a good conscience. The last one, conscience. Good conscience. Having a good conscience. That. Whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. of Christ. Somebody once said, Brother Spurgeon, these people over here are telling lies about you. I said, well, thank God they're not telling the truth. That'd be worse. Amen. Somebody's talking bad about you somewhere, and it may be on social media. Just make sure it ain't true. Amen. Don't feed it. Don't feed that dog. Don't give them ammunition. Amen. People are going to say what they're going to say. You can't do anything about it. You can't right every wrong. We live in a day and age of anonymity. Did I say that right? Yeah. Where people, I've got numbers in my phone saved that are from troublemakers, and I have a note next to them that says, do not engage. Do not engage. Don't even answer it. Don't even talk. Amen? All you can do is make sure that the things they say are not true. And then you can have a clean conscience. Take it from somebody that knows. A guilty conscience makes for a bad day. Always worrying about what's going to come back to bite you, haunt you, however you want to say it. I remember I had been saved. I had been out of jail about 2 weeks and saved about, a month and a half. And the preacher had somebody drive me over to Columbus, Ohio to meet the guy that ran the mission there. And he was an old biker heroin addict, and he'd been saved about 10 years. That's Jimmy Hood. And they said, well, we're going to might introduce you to somebody you find interesting. And we had a lot in common, and I did. But the real reason they wanted me to meet him was to give him a chance to assess whether or not I was real, whether I was a new convert or I was just a con artist. And I don't know this. I don't know what their motives are. I could care less. So I get in the car, and we're on our way to Columbus, me and this brother. And there's a state trooper in the median, and like there is. And immediately, when I seen the state trooper ahead, I started doing inventory in my head. And I started doing it. I didn't have to move, but I'm every pocket, everywhere, because I always had something, a gun, drugs, something. And I would do mental inventory, and I'd develop a plan that, whatever happens, I know what to do. I'm not a stash, hide, I've been at it a long time. And that was a natural thing for me. And I remember sitting there, and I didn't even say anything to God's with, but I remember on the way, and we're approaching this police officer, and I'm thinking, I am clean. I don't have anything to hide. I don't have anything. Man, is that a good feeling. Yeah, I've been maintaining that for a long time now. Amen. I know what a guilty conscience is. Amen. And I know what a clean conscience is. Let me say this, wrap this up. If you have something going on in your heart, in your life, that needs to be dealt with to clear your conscience, that's what revival meetings are for. That's what we preach, bringing somebody from out of town, doesn't know any of the details, inner workings about anything. I don't take briefings. Amen. They don't do it. Our crowd isn't famous for that. And I wouldn't even come back to a church. I said, a guy did tell me one time, well, I want you to do this, 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 this. I said, you do, huh? He goes, yes, that's what my church needs. I said, then you do it, pal. I'll see you. You understand what I just said? Amen. Give you an opportunity to let the Lord deal with your heart during the course of these nights. If the Lord spoke to you about something tonight, we're talking about a clean conscience. Maybe there's somebody you need to say, hey, let's nip this thing in the bud before it gets any farther out of hand. Maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a fellow church member. Maybe it's just idle talk that needs to be, again, nipped in the bud. Why don't we do that? And if there's some sin that God's dealing with you about, get it right. Get it right with the Lord. There's no better place. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where are you going to get a better deal than that? Get off Marketplace and get back in your Bible. You'll find the best deal in town. Amen. Again, amen. And again, if you need to get right with somebody, I wish you'd do it. Our pride doesn't want that. But Matthew 18:15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I'm going to tell you who does not like that. Besides your flesh, just inherently never wants to admit it's wrong. There's a devil behind the scenes that loves it. when Christians will not say, I'm sorry, will not say it was my fault, because sometimes it's your fault. We are so far from as perfect as we pretend to be and even convince ourselves that we are. God blesses humility. And one of the most humbling things you can do is say, I'm sorry. But it's one of the most rewarding things, because it's like the weight of the world is lifted and you wish you'd have done it sooner, because that's when the peace of God is restored. Remember that? See, the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil will chip away at your peace with God. Can't get your salvation, all that, but it'll chip away at your peace of God to where you don't even realize you don't have it anymore. And then the preacher will preach, or the Holy Spirit will bear witness to a verse when you read your Bible, or in a verse of a hymn, and the Spirit will go, right there, man. And you'll go, that, deal with that. Want to have a good day? You can leave every church service with a cleaner conscience than you came in with. Peter wrote this. He said, for he that will love life and see good days, that's the best. That's the rest. However you say it, and this is the rest of the story. That's the rest of the story. You can have a good day. Good day is important. Amen. Tell you what's more important than that. It's a good eternity. And the greatest source of peace there is knowing. Knowing. Not wondering, not hoping, knowing where your soul is gonna spend eternity, because it's gonna spend eternity somewhere. And the greatest source of peace there is knowing that you're gonna be with Jesus Christ in heaven, because your sins are forgiven. Not because you're a nice person, you might be, not because you're a church member, but because you have admitted to him something you and him both already know. You're a sinner. And that book says he died for sin. And the Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I got saved. Anybody else? Amen. If you're not, man, you're missing out. Every one of us here that is saved, that are saved, whichever, was where you are. We understand. We'll be happy for you. We're for you. Let's all stand. If you'd like to be saved, let one of us open a Bible. Listen to the preacher as he comes. Let's do business with God. I give you a lot. Surely there's something. All right?